Vacation down in Florida, so remember them in prayer as well. And we ask Brother Benny if he will lead us in prayer.
Father, Lord, we thank you for the grace and the mercy that you've shown to your people. You're sustaining us and keeping us, watching over us. Father, we give thanks, Lord, that you enable us to be able to come together tonight. Lord, as we come together, we pray, Father, that you might, Lord, enable each of us to draw our thoughts and our minds away from all the things of this world, all our troubles, our trials. Lord, enable us to come together. We pray that you might, Lord, be pleased to speak to us from our brother. We pray that you give him the words, Father, have us to know, open our hearts, Lord, we pray. Lord, this is thorny and hard, and Lord, apart from you, we have no understanding. We ask that you might, Lord, be praised and honored, Lord, and worshiped in this service tonight, Father. And Lord, wherever your gospel goes out, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bless, Lord, your servants as they preach and declare thy word, Lord, that thou might draw your people unto yourself, comfort your people, we pray, Lord. For those, Father, that are sick and going through trials and so many tribulations, Father, we ask, Lord, that you might grant them grace and mercy. Watch care, and we pray, Father, that, Lord, above all things, that your will might be done in each and everything. Lord, we pray that you would bless, watch over those that travel and bring them back safely. Lord, we pray, Father, that you might help each and every one of us, Lord, that we might, Father, have more love for thee and more love one for another. Lord, we do know that everything, Lord, that we have in thee. Help us, we pray, and lead us and guide us throughout the rest of this service. Watch over us the rest of this week, we ask. We ask all these things in thy name. Amen.
We'll turn your hymnal to hymn number 619, The Shelter in the Time of Storm.
Thank you.
particular portion of scripture we'll be looking at tonight is Psalm 91. And if we have a title for our talk tonight, it would be Divine Deliverance and Protection. And we talk about that shelter in the time of storm. And certainly in the day and age in which we live, and in each and every one of our lives and in our families, there's much storm. And we need that shelter. And this is what the psalmist here talks about. As we look at that first verse of the psalm, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Though we're not given the specific author of this psalm, some say it's Moses, some say it's David, and I kind of believe that it's David by the style, and that's all I have to go by, as many of his psalms are written in this penmanship. But it does not matter, because both of these saints of God experienced what we experience as well. It is documented in Scripture of the many storms that they went through, of the many times when they didn't know what to do. And some biblical scholars believe that this could have been written at a time of judgment, especially in David's case, in response to his disobedience of numbering the people. And as we find in most cases, David, whether on the highest mountain or the lowest valley, he never ceases to rely on the Lord for all that he's needed. He realizes that whatever situation he finds himself in, it is in the sovereign plan of the Almighty God. If we could just get that under our belt, it makes things so much easier. And in this first passage, he speaks of where a man dwells, not where every man dwells, but the dwelling place of the elect of God, of the children of God, of the sheep of the shepherd. It is in the man that dwells with God in his house. It is not worship in the outer court as we had in the temple. It speaks of that secret place. It is compared to the Holy of Holies, as we see there in Psalm 27 and verse 5, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." That one-on-one relationship and worship with a spoken God that is, with a sovereign God that is spoken of here by the psalmist. This is not a cold and indifferent conversation that we see here, no matter who wrote it. This is not an on and off again conversation. This is one that dwells in the secret places with God. One who throws himself upon the mercy seat of the inner tabernacle of God. The Psalm 31:20 tells us, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." Here we are. Here we as the elect of God are under the shadow of the Almighty. In his shadow we are protected and comforted and provided for. To live in this kind of communion with God, we are safely under his protection. Though at times when our flesh gets in the way, it doesn't seem that way. But yet, in his love and under his protection, it gives us a serenity and a security that we can find nowhere else, especially in ourselves. This is not a reference to, as we have so prevalent in our day, to the health and wealth false gospel that is promoted all around us. It is showing us that in this relationship with our Lord, no matter what comes our way, we're able to handle it. Not through ourselves by any sense of the imagination, but through the Almighty God. In faith, we understand and we know that God is our guardian. In him, we have all we need. How often do we fail in this and choosing self to fix it rather than depending upon an Almighty God? In our sinful nature, when our pride takes over, when it gets in the way, we're apt to choose ourselves or our government or our relatives or financial institutions. Yet, they all fail. They all fail, first of all, in salvation, and then certainly they fail in taking care. The psalmist says that if we dwell where we have this opportunity to will, then we will have need of nothing. It is to be a position where we are comfortably at home with God. Our heart is prone to God. We love to be alone with God. We enjoy the solitude we have with Him. We don't depend upon others to provide that. It takes our minds off of our troubles, the troubles of ourself, and the troubles of family, and the troubles of the false religions that surround us. It takes our mind off of life in general and puts it where none other can compare, and that is a dependence upon our sovereign God. Our Lord, as it speaks of here, is our hiding place in a world of sin and chaos, in a mindset, a world that has a mindset of doubt and fear and evil. But yet in Him alone is our solace and peace. Psalm 32 says, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Then in that second verse it says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. The writer states that he will say unto the Lord, and this is a bold statement, yet a statement that can be made by every one of us who are truly an elect of God. Every one of us who have been chosen and called by Him. It is an untruth, certainly proclaimed by many of the world around us today. That thing where they say that they can name it and claim it in the name of God. Yet the psalmist states that if we're in a position of this, of the verse that we just went over, then we, the chosen and called, can in truthfulness say that the Lord is our refuge and fortress. And we are the only ones that can say that. Many truths of God's word are proclaimed, and the sweetness of it goes forth to all God's people. But the honey lies in here is how we see it applying to our individual self. Boldness again in the claim that not only is He a refuge and fortress, He is my God. This shows the intimate relationship God has with each and every one of His own. We're not just a number. We're not a group. We are the personal possession of Almighty God. This is proclaimed over and over again in Scriptures. He knows our name. He knows our face. He knows our thoughts. He knows our intents and our pain and sorrow and our joy and happiness. He knows it all. We cannot be stricken from Him. We cannot be taken away from Him. Satan cannot destroy us. We are our Lord's eternally. The old writers say that we can get no grander or loftier than the proclamation, My God. Not in the profane proclamation of the world today, as everyone says it on social media. Everyone said this is their favorite saying. But this, when we can say, My God, is a deep down soul rendering of knowing that He is ours forever. So in Him do we trust. In Him will I trust. Put my faith in Him. In Him will I believe. Trust is the Old Testament word that is rendered faith in the New Testament. So we put our faith in Him. We trust Him. As Psalms 2 tells us in verse 12, Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. And then that statement says, Blessed all they that put their trust in Him. And certainly we can only put our trust in Him with His work of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read verses 3 through 8. It says, Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. What we're given here is a scene of looking at things going on around us and yet understanding exactly where we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. He now, as we look at these things, we see that the benefits of the elect, the benefits of those that dwell in the secret places. They are mentioned in verse 1. Those that are truly a child of God, delivered from the snare of the fowler. For the saint life, life in this world, life on this earth, is a continuous path of snares set by the most deceptive of hunters. As Psalm 124 tells us, blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Certainly, in the day and age and in the world we live in, this world is full of temptations and pitfalls, and we must be protected from them. Only in our Lord can we be protected. Only in Him can these things be avoided. Only in Him will we not be deceived by Satan. In ourself, in man, failure guaranteed every time. It says we're delivered from the noisome pestilence. It is like a plague. It cannot be seen or felt. It is invisible. It travels in the air we breathe, the things we touch, the food we eat, or the water we drink. Yet we have no idea it is even there. That is what we face each and every day. The false religion and the false doctrine that we are surrounded with. We as mere men are vulnerable. But in the secret place of God, it cannot penetrate. It cannot penetrate the truth of God. It cannot get away with its lies. It cannot get away with its deception. It is not allowed. It is not considered. It is shown exactly for what it is. In the secret place of God, we can't be consumed by this. We can't be consumed by this pestilence of sin. It cannot overtake us. It cannot put its stain upon us. It cannot reduce or remove our fellowship with God, before we belong unto Him. And certainly as we speak of this secret place, our fears are calmed. Our fears are squelched. We are calmed by Him. We are calmed by His protection. Even in the terror of darkness, when we can't understand what is transpiring all around us, He calms our fears. He makes us understand that nothing can harm us. Nothing can come upon us that He does not allow, that He is in complete control. Not only does He calm us in the things we can't see, as He spoke of here, He calms us in those things that we can see. As He speaks of that arrow flying toward us in broad daylight, in seeing and understanding the danger we are in, He gives us what we need. He shows His mighty hand in comfort and solace, and He shows it in protection. How that nothing is allowed to happen to us that He does not allow. And though there will be trials and tribulations, He provides all that is needed to face and endure these things. In God, we can be fearless. In ourselves, we're cowards. Out of His will and out of His secret place, in ourselves. In other words, ourselves will fail every time. We will be nothing but fearful. As Isaiah 43 points out to us, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And of course, scripture after scripture backs this, how God protects us. We need not be afraid of this pestilence that is spoken of, that walketh in darkness. Even in the things that we cannot see, even in the things from a human standpoint we cannot understand, God is there. God is with us. He gives us grace. He shows us mercy. And even if that event is our exit from this earth of what we're undergoing, His promise of eternity is always there to comfort us. That we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all eternity. And sometimes those things that we cannot see to begin, we're able to see later. Not only the physical, but the spiritual as well. So many things we do not understand, but our Lord has promised that He takes care of that. It may not be in the way that we would choose, but we can rest assured it is the right way. And we don't have to second guess God, for He alone knows what is best. No matter the outcome, and certainly it can be our physical death, yet we know the end of the story. The end of that story is that happy ending that we all look forward to, for we are eternally bound to a holy and righteous God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Though 1,000 shall fall right beside us, or 10,000 shall fall right beside us, we are kept in the hand of the Lord. For He is our keeper, not man, not any association, not any government, not money, only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as spoken of here, the reward of the wicked is always faith. The reward of our dependence upon self is always going to be faith. There is no hope except in God. And there is no complete comfort except in His secret place. As Psalm 37:34 tells us, "Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." Verse 4 reminds us in this particular group of verses where we are to dwell and what benefits of dwelling there is. As a mother hen, we think of that picture of that mother hen with those biddies and that first clap of thunder, and all those biddies run right up under her wings. There we shall have faith. There we shall trust in Him, knowing that He will take care of us under His wing. His truth, His righteousness, all that He has proclaimed unto us is there. We are protected under it. If we abide in His tabernacle, we are under His protection and care. As Psalm 61 says, "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." The comparison of the wings gives us the picture of the strength of God and the tenderness of God. When we think about a chicken, the strongest limb of that bird is his wing. Because no matter what size, he is able to lift the body from the earth. Yet in the makeup of the wing, we have that softness of those downy feathers on the underside that shows the comfort and the care of the Father. And once again in Psalms, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I take my refuge until these calamities be overpast." We don't have to be terrified. We don't have to be frightened. We don't have to worry. And that is certainly easier said than done. But it is true in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 43:2-3 says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." Then we look at verses 9 and 10. It says, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh by thy dwelling." The writer here gives us more promises of God to each and every one that belong unto Him. These promises are guaranteed to those that dwell in the shadow of His wing. If God be our refuge, there is no higher hope. We cannot attain a higher and greater plane than the refuge and protection of our Lord. As Psalm 71 says, "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress." In our relationship with God, we can be at home. We are at home with Him. We are comfortable and comforted in His person because of Him, certainly not because of us. We can rest in Him. We can converse with Him through the mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we delight in Him. And it is an enjoyable and rewarding relationship that can be found nowhere with man. It is a peace that can be found nowhere else. We live in a universe that is full of peace seekers, seeking peace all the time. But yet, because they do not know truth, They do not understand that the only true peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 26, Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. As promised in the scripture, in his house are many mansions. Not only do we dwell in a safer environment with him on this earth, we are promised an eternal environment of protection and care. If we are truly his, then nothing, and this is hard for us to understand at times, when we're truly his, then nothing shall come our way that will harm us. It is for our good. Though in the present it may be grievous, in the end it will be joyous. There shall, as Proverbs says, there shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. And then we look at the verses 11 and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Key to this verse is the use of to keep thee in all thy ways. That says not one thing about our ways. Not one thing about man's way, or the preacher's way, or the parent's way, or a friend's way, but to keep thee in the ways of the Lord. The angels are not charged with keeping us in the ways of man or self, but charged with keeping us in the ways of God. The promise is to keep us in the King's path, or the King's highway, not in our own path. Venturing off on self's path only brings failure and heartache. Well, certainly in the age in which we live, there are many would take this passage and run with it. They're involved and fascinated in angel worship. Yet these servants, divinely created beings, act only under the direct command of God. They are not to be worshipped. They are not going contrary to what God has said. They're not going contrary to what God has commanded. Nor are they going off on independent ventures of their own. If we, in our sin, decide to take paths that are opposite of what God has told us to take, we can expect to suffer the consequences. The angels, as they are charged here by God, are not going to support our selfish interests. They are not going to lead us on a path of their own choosing, only in the path commanded by God. Man's tendency is always to take that path of presumption. That is exactly what Satan tempted our Lord in there in Matthew. And saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest in any time thou dash thy foot against them. This is exactly what is proclaimed around us today in the false religion. How the devil here, he tempts Christ. How false religion just says, well, the Lord's going to take care of you. No, the Lord's going to take care of his own. Christ's answer to him was simple, yet one most powerful answer. He says, Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. We cannot be presumptuous in the doctrine we believe. Many would say, if I believe what you believe, I would live as I please. I would do what I wanted to do. Everything is covered. Everything is covered under the blood. But when you have the love of God in your heart, when you understand that God has chosen you and called you before man ever was, when you understand that salvation is only in the Lord Jesus Christ and is only in God, and any choice that we would make would never be toward God. It has to be His choice toward us. Then we're taking the truths of God and making them the tools of men to sin. And Paul spoke of that. And there is absolutely no support for it at all. And the angels would not have charge over sinful ways, for they are prohibited from sin. They are heavenly and holy beings, and they can have no part of sin. The path of sin is man. The path of sin derives from Adam and the fall. Man, or self, that will always take us further than we intend to go. If we are deceptive, if we are lustful, if we lie, if we refuse service that God has called us upon, then it's sin. And His angels will not keep us if we go in this way of man, in this way of self. If our pursuit is that of this world, if it includes men, flesh, and the devil, then we can understand that the angels won't support us in that because God has commanded them not to. The angels will not attend us in the path of pride that we fight every day. They cannot attend us in the path of this world. It is one of the easiest sins when we have here, and certainly it is personified in the devil himself. We want to take credit. We want to shine. We want to toot our horn or have someone else toot it for us. Yet this is the number one tool of Satan, and it was in his fall. It was his downfall, pride. And the angels cannot support us in that as well. There is also the way of man saying, I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what the scripture says, then we understand that is not truth either. And there is no support from any heavenly being belonging unto an almighty God in disobedience. We will not be supported in the path of false doctrine. When we follow something because it fits our lifestyle and because we like it, it is not the truth of God's word. Yes, we know we are to know false doctrine. We are to understand false teaching, but we're not to dabble in them, as so many have. We're not to give them any credit whatsoever, because one point false in doctrine nullifies all the teaching. These are paths that we cannot expect as the divine angels are talked about here. But we are guaranteed as a child of God that those paths that God leads us in, that those paths that He puts in our place, that those things that we come up upon every day, we can expect the support in the way of humble faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. When we are nothing and Christ is everything, they will be right there. When we confess our guilt before Him and are clothed in His righteousness, because we have no righteousness whatsoever, if we had heavenly vision, we could see them in our path. And though we fail and falter every day in our sin, we're deserving of this, what God has promised. But just as with our salvation, our Lord provides not because of our actions, but because of His. They attend us in the providential guidance of the Almighty. They strictly obey what God has commanded. They are guided only by Him, not by any so-called worship of angels. On the difficult roads of following His principles and His integrity set forth in His words, when we are persecuted and made fun of for those actions, God has promised us their presence. In our service for Him, not ourselves, He is assured their presence. We are promised paths that are difficult, yet they are doable only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking in that narrow path that the Scripture speaks of, that God has called us to, assurance in Him is ours. The angels have charge over us. There is a reason God set those angels in charge of us in these paths. When the right path is taken, we are to be prepared. It is not an easy road. It is not what we hear all the time of the easy believism that we have propagated in the world in which we live. It is not some partial salvation. It is not some partial doctrine. The Lord Jesus Christ knows beyond all doubt that we cannot handle it on our own. As the Bible speaks of, our paths are stony. Our roads are difficult. Yet, roads that we are lifted up upon by these angels, lest we dash our foot, as even the devil testified to there in Matthew. Only with God given wisdom can we know that the right way is not the easy way. Because in our flesh, we're always looking the easy way. Sometimes we in our sin convince ourselves that we're on the wrong road, that we've made a terrible mistake because of the terrible trials and temptations we face. Yet the psalmist shows in this passage that the road is filled with lions and snakes, and only in the Lord can there be deliverance. Not only are we kept in the stony paths, we're kept in the easy paths as well. When things are going good, we have a tendency to let our guard down, and certainly that is when Satan attacks with a vengeance. Yet the angels are there to look after us. We can be assured we are secure. First, in that God cares and concerns Himself for each and every one of His own. And though we cannot see them, and though they are mysterious, and though they're not to be understood by men, we understand what the Scripture says here. They are there. They are still at our side. They keep us, assist us in our way without us ever knowing it. We are personally protected. A protection that is perpetual by the sovereign God. 24/7. Never goes away. Never sleeps. Whether we're asleep or whether we're awake, our God is always there. A divine security system. What joy that should bring to the heart of the saint. First of all, because we know in ourselves that we fail tremendously and that we can never be make it right. What comfort and solace. It is an encouragement to follow the example set here. It is an encouragement that wants us to love and care for our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. Our hearts can rest in the comfort and safety of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is peace and solace, knowing that, as the Scripture says here, the angels watch over us, knowing that everything is guided and directed by the one true holy God. Then he says in verse 13, "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet." What kind of power does this give us as children of God? When angels are commanded by our Heavenly Father to be at our side, then we have divine power, power to do the impossible as self and as far as man is concerned. He says here to tread upon the lion and the adder. We can defeat and overcome Satan. This is not possible in man. It is not possible in ourselves, not in others, not in through some pastor or pope or whatever you want to say, only through the divine intervention. As Romans 16 tells us, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Amen. Our spiritual enemies are defeated. Therefore, we become more than conquerors. And having, as Colossians tells us, "And having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it." This is divine power. This is divine protection. This is an almighty God taking care of his own as he promised. None of it is in ourselves. All of it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of it in the redemptive process of his blood being shed on Calvary. Power that in our finite and fleshly mind we cannot grasp. But we don't have to understand it. We just know that this power of victory over Satan, over all false religion, and over all false doctrine, and over all false teachers, is his completely. Completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then verses 14 through 16, "Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." These are words dear to each and every one of us who belong unto the Lord. As the psalmist writes these words, it concerns all the elect of God. It is used as a charge to the angels as he instructed them to care for his own. It is his explanation to his angel as to why he cares for his own, as to why he loves us, and to why he saved us. He will never leave us or forsake us. We are chosen and we are secured in the Lord Jesus Christ. God recognizes the love we have for Him, knowing that we can only love Him because He first loved us. And no matter how small it may seem in comparison to His great love, He is pleased by this love toward Him. The love, grace, and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ for His own results in His perfect redemption, complete redemption for us. This is what He said on the cross. This is what all it meant when He said, "It is finished." He did it all. So therefore, He is pleased to answer our prayers. He is pleased to hear our prayers. He is pleased to hear us ask for deliverance and protection from the enemies of the truth that would harm His own. No one or nothing can remove us from His hand. In our feebleness and in our imperfection, we call upon the name of God because it is known to us, because we are one of His. We are allowed as His own to call upon Him. We are allowed to approach a holy and righteous God through our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in Him that we recognize and admit our own inabilities and the total ability of the crucified Christ. Even in our perfection, all is taken care of by our Lord. He answers by setting us up on high. Once again, deliverance from the pitfalls of the world and Satan to be set on high with God. As 2 Timothy 4:18 says, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Belonging to God gives us the ability to call upon Him, gives us the ability to converse with Him, to reach out and be touched by Him. He is the all-powerful God, and He will deliver all that He has promised. Only the true, sovereign, almighty God can deliver on such a promise. Only He, among all that is falsely identified as God, only He is the living, true God. Our prayers do not go unheeded. They do not go unanswered. He is true to His word. The mighty grace of God instills in us to pray unto Him and to beg upon Him, and the Almighty of God of grace will answer. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, we're allowed to ask and He will answer. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, even though we don't know how to say it, He makes it right when it comes unto God. There is no time or place that God is not with us, as we've seen in this scripture. Whether the highest of peaks or the lowest of valleys, He is always there. Isaiah 43, "Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, that He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Poor, dishonorable, and undeserving sinners we are. We can be deserted by family. We can be deserted by friends. Brothers and sisters in Christ can desert us. Our Lord will never desert us. We will never be left alone. He is always by our side. As He commanded His holy angels in this psalm to attend us and take care of us. And though at times we feel like we're all alone and have nowhere to turn, it is because we rely upon our flesh and not upon our Lord. Our life goes beyond the physical because we see in these scriptures that we live forever in the environs of heaven. That abode is so great, is too great for our finite thinking. God has bestowed upon us blessings that we can't even comprehend. And yet, in our earthly life, when we understand these truths, when we understand our relationship with an almighty God, we can live a satisfied life. Wanda does not have to keep up with what is going on in the world. Wanda does not have to keep up with the Joneses. Wanda is not involved in the riches and vices of this earth. but enjoying a bountiful relationship with a wonderful and mighty God. We are divinely entitled. I use that term loosely in the day and age in which we live. But we can say this because we are divinely entitled, because God has promised us this, to solace and peace. Solace and peace that worldly man cannot attain with all his riches. For we are held in the very hand of the one true living God. This is not the health and wealth message of our day. This is the promise of a father to his children. You are mine, and I am yours. No matter the circumstance, I will take care of you. I will love you. I will provide for you. I will deliver you. Not because you deserve it, but because you are mine. And it glorifies and honors me, for my word is kept. I chose you. I called you. I love you. And in me alone, you are secure throughout all eternity. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for these scriptures that assure us of where we stand with Thee. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to doubt. We can be assured that we are in Thy hand, and that we will be in Thy hand throughout all eternity. Not because of anything we deserve, not because of anything we have earned, because we deserve nothing but an eternal hell. But because You, before man ever was, chose us, and You called us unto Yourself, and in there we will reside with our Lord throughout all eternity. In His blessed name we pray. Amen.